Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Uchai jagu nrityamana,
Uchai jagu nrityamana,
Rakta kanto rati priya,
Rakta kanto rati priya,
Krishna bimarshamudita,
Krishna bimarshamudita,
Vyagyitenetam abritam, Uchair jagu nityamana,
Uchair jagu nityamana,
Rakta kantya rati priya,
Rakta kantya rati priya,
Krishna vimarsha mudita,
Krishna vimarsha mudita,
Yad gitin etam abritam,
Yad gitin etam abritam,
Uchair jagu nrityamana,
Uchair jagu nrityamana,
Rakta kantyo rati priya,
Rakta kantyo rati priya,
Krishna vimarsha mudita,
Krishna vimarsha mudita,
Yad gitin edam abritam,
Yad gitin edam abritam,
Uchai jagu nityamana,
Uchai jagu nityamana,
Rakta.
They sing.
They sing.
Nrityamana,
Nrityamana,
while dancing.
While dancing.
Rakta.
Rakta.
Colored.
Colored.
Kantya.
Kantya.
Their throats.
Their throats.
Rati.
Rati.
Conjugal enjoyment. Priyaha.
Priyaha.
Dedicated to. Krishna Adimarsha.
Krishna Adimarsha.
By the touch of Lord Krishna.
By the touch of Krishna.
Mudita.
Mudita.
Joyful.
Joyful.
Yat.
Yat.
Ooze.
Ooze.
Gitena.
Gitena.
By the singing.
Idam,
this entire universe,
Abritam,
is pervaded. Translation. You get to enjoy conjugal love, their throats colored with various pigments. The gopis sang loudly and danced. They were overjoyed by Krishna's touch, and they sang songs that filled the entire universe. Translation responsively. Eager to enjoy conjugal love.
Eager to enjoy conjugal love.
Their throats colored with various pigments.
Their throats colored with various pigments.
The gopis sang loudly and danced.
The gopis sang loudly and danced.
They were overjoyed by Krishna's touch.
They were overjoyed by Krishna's touch.
And they sang songs.
They sang songs.
That filled the entire universe.
That filled the entire universe.
Purport.
Purport.
According to an authentic book on music called, this is the name of the book, Sangeeta Shara Tavanta Eva Raga Surya Vatario Jiva Jataya Teshu Shodasha Sahasri Pura Gopi Krita Vara. Somehow I don't think that's the name of the book. It says, I think, oh, Sangeeta Bhattara, then comma, then that whole line. Translation of that line. There are many musical ragas. There are as many musical ragas as there are species of life. Among these ragas are 16,000 principal ones which were manifested by the gopis. Thus the gopis created 16,000 different ragas or musical modes, and these have subsequently been disseminated throughout the world. The words Yad Gidene Dam Abritam also indicate that even today devotees throughout the world sing the praises of Krishna following the example of the gopis. Mukam karoti bachalam pangum langayate ghim jat kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinadarinam. There are as many musical ragas as there are species of life. So in the Padma Purana, it's explained how many species of life there are. Who knows how many species of life?
8 million. 8 million.
400,000.
Yes, 8,400,000. Jalaja Navalakshani. Navalak 9 lakhs.
Aquatics.
Stavara Lakshavinshati. 20 lakhs. Lakshavinshati. 20 lakhs. It's 2 million. Non moving. Krimaya Rudra Shankar is 1,100,000 reptiles. Pashinam Dasha Lakshanam. Pashinam Dasha Lakshanam. Beasts.
10 lakhs.
10 lakhs, 1 million.
Birds.
Only 1 million. Trinshal Lakshani Pashava.
Dasha Lakshanam means 10 lakhs.
Yeah. Trinshal Lakshani Pashava. Birds, 3 lakhs. And Trinksha Lakshani, 30 lakhs, 3 million. And Chahula Lakshani Manusha. 4
lakhs.
Yeah, 4 lakhs, 400,000. So that's a real lot. Different species. Just to give you a figurative estimation. Half of the population of Australia. You see, all the people in Australia, how many people in Australia? You have never met them all. So many new faces we see every day on the street. So all of those people in Australia, half of those, the number, huge number, that's the number of ragas. Different types of musical. So there you go. Ragas. So that means that Vedic culture is very rich. No one could study all those in one lifetime. In fact, Prabhupada commented about a famous sitar player that he had taken 7 births to perfect his practice of sitar playing. 7 consecutive births as a master, as a student and practitioner of sitar. So that's Vedic culture. It's not a small thing. So this means that why is that Vedic culture so rich? Because it's related to Krishna. And Krishna is unlimited. So basically 8,400,000 types of music ragas, it's as good as unlimited, because who can be accomplished in all of those? It's as good as unlimited. However, there are guidelines. It's not that we have to speculate how to please Krishna. Here it's interesting that there are ways, there are rules of music and dance. Also, in the previous verse we were looking at the mudras. Where does it mention the mudras? And dancing? Yeah, their hands gestured. their hands gesture, just like this morning in Kirtan we were seeing devotees showing lovely mudras to embellish the dancing. So this is the Vedic way. And there's guidelines, you know, that you can learn. So we should actually become absorbed in study of Vedic literature in order to embellish our worship of Krishna. And it's not that we, you know, that's what Suti Suti Puranari Panchadaptika Vidim Vina. Why can't Tiki Hare Bhakti Utpatyaya Kalpada? Even though it may be why can't Tiki Hare Bhakti means serious, means a person who is interested and sincere. Why can't Tiki Hare Bhakti? If it's Shruti Smriti Puranari Panchadaptika Vidim Vina, if it's without compliance with the Sruti, Vedic literature, Smriti, Purana is the additional, the supplementary Vedic literatures, Puranas, the 18 Puranas, Pancharatrika is the special system of following Vedic injunctions for the Kali Yuga. Pancharatrika Vidim, all of the different rules and guidelines, Vina, if your devotion is without or neglecting these rules, even though it's very sincere, why can't Tiki Hare Bhakti? Why can't Tiki means genuine? Means very, you know, genuine. Utpatyaiva. Utpatyaiva means disturbance. Utpatyaiva kalpate. It is only a disturbance in the, you know, society. So these guidelines are there, and we should take advantage of deeply studying the Vedic directions on how to worship Krishna. And here we're seeing that the gopis were singing in so many beautiful ways, loudly chanting and dancing, singing loudly, all these different ragas. And we can see that it's there in every field of culture. In fact, before I was a devotee, I was involved in culture. I was an artist, training as an artist. And what attracted me about Krishna consciousness movement was the, you know, of course, philosophy, but also the richness of culture. That it was so, culture means a whole lifestyle. It means absorb, it's something that we can absorb our creative ability in and engage that in connection with the Lord. Culture means poetry, it means music, it means dance, it means literature, it means behavior, it means all of these fine sentiments of civilization. And we can establish these and develop. Actually, Prabhupada said one time, cultural conquest. But cultural conquest. And it's interesting because sometimes devotees, just like I was in New Zealand just last 2 weeks, and devotees were sometimes asking me, we were taking prasadam, and they were asking me, well, is this, in India, would this be alright if we were doing this and doing that and all these things, you know? You know, how are we supposed to do this and that? And I said, ah, it's okay. No problem. It's prasadam. But actually, where it's possible, if we can fully, you know, live according to the Vedic culture, because it's anukul, the word is anukul, it means conducive, it means favorable to Krishna consciousness. It's supportive of Krishna consciousness. Now, if we don't learn that culture and apply it in our lives as much as possible, then what we will have another culture. You see, this is the fact that there must be some culture. Culture means values, it means ethics. Ethics means what's right and wrong in a community, what that community considers to be right and wrong. These are part of the culture. And these are there, and generally nowadays people, their culture is there. Western culture, it's there, it's a reality, it exists, it is a living entity, we could say, it's a observable feature, phenomena, And basically Western culture nowadays is the education in Western culture is delivered through, you know, movies. And what all of these principal ethics, what's right and what's wrong nowadays, people don't, they learn this from movies. And videos. Before that, you know, at least you would learn it from the pulpit, so to speak, on Sundays, what's right and what's wrong. And something in school. But nowadays people learn that, you know, what's right and wrong is what's in the movies. And in this way, Western culture, you know, establishes, Western values are established through the movies, basically. And you know, if you watch movies, then usually towards the end there's some sort of moral, there's some sort of teaching, you know, that I think we were discussing last time about, you know, that somebody does something, you know, for their family or, you know, for their children, and he gives up his career opportunities to, you know, for his relationship with his wife. And this is actually implicitly delivering what this Western culture considers to be the values and what's right and wrong. And through drama, drama, I mean, cinema is also art. It's all of these things. It's drama, music, it's literature, script, all of these things are involved. And through the culture, actually the values propagate. So if we, you know, you can't be without culture, you can't be cultureless. The way we dress, the way we speak, the way we live our life, you know, in home, the way we decorate our homes, the way we behave with each other, greetings, etc., you know, all of these things. They're all elements of the culture of a particular civilization. And all of these things, if we don't imbibe the Vedic way of doing things, then we're simply following the non-Vedic, or other word is malecha, culture. And in that way, the values are also delivered through that behavior. You know, just like cleanliness, for example, it's in Vedic culture very important, of prime importance. It's cleanliness standards in terms of, you know, dealing with food, prasadam, etc., of prime importance. And we think, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. It's for example, you know, it's preaching and all of these things. And we don't have to be too worried about the rules and regulations. But, in many ways, we actually compromise cleanliness standards. And it just reflects Western mentality, you know, which is a mentality of... It's a mentality of superficiality and external, you know, motor passion, external achievements rather than internal meditation. It's in terms of the volume, you know, how many plates we distribute? How many? Oh, big number, more. This is actually influence of Western culture. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said that if a devotee went out and distributed one book, he was satisfied. Why? Because it's Vedic culture is more internal, it's more sattvic, it's more about the attitude. What was his attitude when he did that one book? And, you know, we don't say we had today in the restaurant, you know, we actually had mood of compassion. Joy. You know, I'm just reflecting on these points. But the Vedic culture, the external things, the little things, they're meant to change your attitude. You know, why are we so strict about cleanliness? A person comes and gives the plate, and then, you know, we just take their plate and then serve again from the pot, you know. Why are we so strict? Because, you know, that is unacceptable according to Brahminical standards. You know, you touch the plate the person's eating on, immediately you're completely contaminated. And then, you know, you can't go and touch the pots or all the prasadam is, you know. I want to speak of health, but in terms of Brahminical standards. So why they're there? They're there because they help us develop the proper attitude. Tapo divya putra yena shatram shukyet. It's meant for, a human life is meant for developing the proper attitude through austerity. Tapo divya putra yena shatram shukyet. You become purified by a practice of austerity, which for us means following rules and regulations. It's austere. And we have this mentality that, oh, it's, you know, whatever we have. But actually this is meant for, these details, they are meant for protecting you from the lower modes of nature. From the consciousness, you know, from lower modes of nature. And therefore, it's very strict in Vedic culture. Now, of course, the other extreme is that a person becomes niyam-agraha. That he becomes too much agraha. He's accepting the niyam, the rules and regulations. And he's simply interested in strictly following the rules and regulations. And he's unable to adjust according to the requirements. And so this is also considered by Rupa Goswami to be, you know, something that can spoil one's devotional service completely. Bhakti Vinashiti. You can destroy your devotional service. So there's examples. Prabhupada was a perfect example of this. He knew, you know, this is acharya. Acharya means they know what is dispensable in terms of the regulations, rules and regulations. And they know what is indispensable. So, others, contemporaries of Prabhupada, didn't have this expertise. And he was criticized for many adjustments that he made, like, for example, allowing ladies to live in the ashram. Now, this was up until Prabhupada's preaching. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was giving brahminical initiation to ladies, which previously wasn't accepted. And Prabhupada understood that in the West, that men and women, that, you know, in fact nowadays you can get taken to court for for discrimination. You know, it has to be, you know. So these are the things. So Prabhupada understood that in the West, this is something. In order to establish the higher principle, Mahaprabhu's order, prithivide ache joto nagarari gram, prithivite all over the world, prithivite, prithivim, the world. He says it clearly. Prithivide, all over the world. Prithivide ache joto nagarari gram. However many, he says, there are naga gram, cities and villages. Savatra, in all of them, prachā hoive morna, my Sankirtan movement will be established and preached. So that is also an injunction. Dharma Sankstapanapaya, and Krishna himself established that principle, the Vedic principle. So that is higher. That is higher. And the acharya, he's not actually neglecting the rules, but he's perfectly following the rules. And we can see Prabhupada was expert in doing this. And in many ways, sannyas, for example, so many principles are there, vanashram, sannyas. Well, what a sannyasi has to do? Take bath 3 times a day, sleep on the ground. Mm-hmm. Have no association with the opposite sex. Have no wealth. No account. No reserve. No capital. No money. No pockets. No kurta, right? No pockets. That means no sewn cloth. This is sannyas. And Prabhupada understood that this will not be conducive for Mahaprabhu's order. That prithivityache jata nagarayam, that all over the world the sankhya. And the sannyasis, Prabhupada says, this sannyas is for travelling and preaching and education to preach. So And this is actually the real principle. His sannyas, he's given up his interest in his sense gratification, and he's fully surrendered to the satisfaction of the Lord and fulfillment of the Lord's desire. So that is the real essence, that is the principle. So we don't want to take it to the other extreme that we become like smarta, obviously overly absorbed in all the rules and regulations. And like for example, South India, the Brahmins, they would have to take a bath if a person from lower caste stepped on their shadow. And therefore they ostracized themselves, and that they didn't interface with the lower environments. And in this way, they neglected their duty, which is to patan patan, to actually teach and elevate people to, to the civilization, what is the purpose of human life. The Brahmins meant for teaching. So, they all became Muslims. All over. Because of that reason, basically. That they weren't being administered by the priests, by the teachers. So this is not knowing what the real meaning of the rules is, and simply following strictly, and actually doing the complete opposite of what the purpose of these rules is. So we don't want, that this has to be avoided. However, on the other hand, that doesn't mean that we remain hippies. Oh, we don't have to worry about preaching. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. Jen, we're preaching. It's a preaching movement. Then that is, why not take it? If we don't embrace and try to imbibe those features of Vedic culture, which are helpful for us, conducive to developing devotional qualities, then we're doing it, we're just doing injustice for ourselves, making it hard for ourselves. So therefore all these things are there, we have prasadam, the way prasadam should be served. We should receive prasadam, we should sit down, and we should receive prasadam from the hand of a Shuddha Vaishnava. We should respect prasadam, receiving it from the hand of another devotee. And in this way, through that process, we can develop the devotional qualities of appreciation, of love between one devotee and another, the devotee who's serving prasadam. And rather than, Vedic culture means that the guest, he does not eat the host. This is Vedic culture. The host, he does not eat until all of the guests are fully satisfied. And we're the hosts. And, sometimes it's just like, when we get something, when we fill the belly, and who cares about the guests? It's very difficult to, it's very easy to develop devotional qualities when we follow the culture. Very easy, because they're meant for it. They're designed to actually develop those qualities. I'm the servant. And Krishna is the enjoyer, and in that way, we can follow. But we think, this and that, the Western culture, complete opposite. Someone comes to the door, you don't even open the door, look through the hole. Look through the door. I used to go to all the farmers, and they come to the door. I still remember what they say. You knock on the door, what's the problem? What's the problem? That's how they greet you. What's the problem, mate? That means that people only. That means that everybody who comes to see me has problems, and they only come with problems. What's your problem? What's your problem? Vedic culture means griham praptam. What is that? Griham chakra. What is that verse? Akutobayat. Griham shastram api praptam. Vishvasho akuto bhayet. Vedikulture means even if an enemy comes to your home, you should be treated in such a way that he forgets he's your enemy. That's Vedic culture. So these things should be there. People come, they should be given, you know, they should be welcomed. You know, welcome. They should be given a seat, at least. They should be given water, minimum, and sweet words. And these principles or these regulations, these help us develop the appropriate attitude. And you know, sometimes in our centers people come and they come for program 2 or 3 weeks and no one even speaks to them. 2 or 3 weeks. No one even speaks to them. So what is that? That means we're following another culture, an impersonalist culture. You know, the culture of competitive, that what can I get out of it? As long as it's alright for me and my family, as long as we get, you know, enough food on the table. That is Western culture. Polished animals. Vedic culture, human life, is meant for opportunity for me to cultivate fine character and quality. Which, without cultivating these things, you're not eligible to return to the spiritual world. Uncultured people do not go to the spiritual world. They stay in this place, where the uncultured people can associate with each other. You don't go there unless you develop, you know, completely the qualifications. The heart is fully prepared to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. And all of the attributes of the pure soul are fully developed again. Then you return there. Svarup Siddhi. You've revived your eternal person, your eternal nature as lover of Krishna. Then you go back there. Now that means now we have a chance to revive it through service, through the process of bhakti, devotional service. So everything we do, jagaroshi, yadashnashi, yashi, Krishna is saying, whatever you do, yadashnashi, whatever you eat, yashiboshi dasya, whatever austerity you should perform, whatever you give away, tat kurusha madarpanam, do that for me, as an offering unto me. That means culture. That means we're meditating about everything we do, how to do it in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. That means we follow the directions how to do it, how to eat, how to serve prasadam, how to greet guests, how to deal with people, how to associate with Vaishnavas, how to associate with non-devotees, how to associate with senior devotees, how to associate with junior devotees. We find out how to do it by studying the scripture, the guidelines are there, and we follow Tat Purusha Madarpanam to please Krishna. And the qualities will develop, because Krishna, this is the process. So in this way we can see so much richness is there in Vedic culture, and it's made very easy for us to access that and become competent, know that, be able to apply that, and this life is a great opportunity for us to achieve that. And so today we're getting these guidelines from the statements of the gopis and their behavior. And are there any comments or questions on today's verse?
One comment. That's an easy
question. Please go. You go.
I'll say a personal example. I was in Germany for cleanliness. We're talking about how to keep away from the lower modes of material nature. I was in Germany in 91, and they were so strict about entering into the kitchen. Everybody must have washed clothes, and about the shoes, they were so particular. You have to change the shoes, whatever you're wearing, particular, and then only you can. So this is very, very important what is highlighted. In spiritual life, you have to be very clean and very sober and very humble. And to serve the guest is the most important thing we have learned. I don't do it. I accept. But the standard of it is saying almost gone. No compromise.
Yeah. Thank you. Some things there shouldn't be compromised. All right, so we may not be, you know, but at least some, you know, the essential principle. The mood. What is the mood that the weather serves? You know, and these things, like for example, the satisfying the guest, but that is, you know, something that it changes the mood if we're, and even the mood that you feel as guests. And the host sits down you know, you just feel, it feels different to when a host actually remains, you know, waits till you're completely, fully satisfied. And then, you know, you just feel, you know, your heart softens. What did you?
I was wondering, when developing good devotional qualities or personal qualities, is it that we should sort of specifically think, okay, I'm going to develop this quality or that quality, or should we think more that just by following the process of Krishna consciousness that this will develop?
Yeah. Well, the thought comes to mind that Tesham Shadada Yuktana Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Enamam Bhajatam. Krishna says that the one who is Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, he doesn't say one is 24 hours a day worried about developing good qualities. He says Satatam Yuktanam, constantly engaged in Bhajatam and worshipping me Priti Purvakam, with love and affection. Dadami Buddhi Yogam, I give him intelligence. Enamam Vyantime, to approach me more and more. So, by the process of worshipping Krishna, devotional service to Krishna, as is given in Prabhupada's books, as is directed by our gurus, this is the thing we focus on doing. And this Satatam Yuktanam, being constantly engaged in this, following the orders of the guru, and devotional service, and service to him, and service to Krishna. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna reveals Dadami Buddhi, he gives intelligence. Aham Agyan Nashyami Atmabhava Shogyan Deep Aina Bhashvata, that he's like a light, Jnana Deep, the light of knowledge in the heart. And you see, well, I should do it like this. Deeper means illumination in the heart, and this is more pleasing to Krishna. This is what we should do. So in this way, one gets enlightenment, and he says, "This quality, this is the residue of my previous life, still there, and actually, I should be like this." Right. So in other words, it's not like we have to go for character development courses. You just chant Hare Krishna nicely and serve the spiritual master and follow the process, and then things become revealed. But when they become revealed, then you should act on them. Yes, Rashana Maji.
Just, I think your talk today was extremely interesting, very important. It's very neglected because the Vedic scriptures speak about a world which is totally alien to the Western person, in fact quite shocking, particularly with regard to women's position in it. So it has been an eye-opener for me to have you and your wife visit Melbourne to see the culture embodied and alive. It's been a real education and I really value that. But I think one of the things that is great for me in terms of when you want to change the world, change an institution, change people, how do you do it? Is the way, can you institutionalize those standards, which is touching on what he said, can you institutionalize those standards so they become the mass culture of a group of people, which I think is the challenge. And for me, that is what I see the value of the meeting we had yesterday.
Good question, Madhuji.
Yeah. Okay. As opposed, and then is it supported?
Well, there's different ways we can approach this. One way is through legislation. You must not eat until all the guests have eaten, and that's the law. Right? That's the process of legislation. Make a law. But more effective is the process of education. That to actually give people an education, why, you know, what will be the advantages of following this particular direction, and how to follow this direction, an appropriate attitude to the way I'm following this direction, why, its importance, and the consequences of not following it. So through education, you can change people's behaviour more. What do they say? This is in, you know, he remains, what is that, man convinced against his will remains unconvinced still. Legislation is like that. But if you change his attitude, he's changed character. And this is why Krishna spends a long time teaching Arjuna, even though Arjuna is Bhaktavajime Shikachati Rahasyam Hiyedad Uttamam. He says that, Krishna, my devotee and my friend, Rahasyam, he says this in the fourth chapter, the Rahasyam, the mystery, Hiyedad Uttamam, you understand, because you're my devotee, my friend. But then he goes on to explain everything to him. Because through the education that Krishna gave Arjuna, then Krishna asks, Kaschidagana samaham pranastate dananjaya. Is your illusion now vanished? Kaschid etachitam paata. Have you heard what I've been teaching? And Arjuna says, Nashamoha. That my illusion is destroyed. Smriti labda. I've gained my memory. Tat prasadam achitam by your mercy. Infallible one. Kaschido ashmi. Gatashandeha. I'm firm, free from doubt. Karishad vachanam tava. I'm prepared to do whatever you want. I've changed my attitude through education. Arjuna changed. He wasn't, in the beginning, he didn't want to do that service. Karishe vachanam tava. I will do whatever you order. Why? Because he was given an education in the consequences of that. Vimrashaya shadashayashina yita ishyashisitakuru. Because he said, deliberate on this fully. You consider all of this I've been discussing, and then you decide what to do. That's education. He doesn't order you, you know, that you must do it. It's the law. No, you do what you want to do, but after giving the education, Arjuna changed. So this Bhagavad Gita is education which will change people and their attitude and their approach and their behavior. So effective education can change people. And this is Prabhupada's approach.
Can I clarify? Are you saying, therefore, that you cannot write it into systems and practices of an institution like a temple?
Beg your pardon?
Are you saying that you can't set a standard for a temple and that it has to be a temple?
No, we need like there are guidelines that we follow, but they should be not blindly followed.
Of course.
Keshav Apu?
I was going to mention in that book that Satsarupa Maharaj wrote about 26 qualities of a devotee, which is just in reference to Shruti's question. And he just made the comment that we could go both ways in order to, you know, develop the quality of 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. As you said, you know, we can concentrate on devotional service and they will manifest, because that's the purpose of devotional service. Or he said that we could simultaneously, you know, meditate, okay, compassion. Yeah, you know, really make a conscientious effort to become compassionate by concentrating on that quality. So you kind of imbibe the two two kind of ideas.
Nice comment, Kashyap, that was giving. An example comes to mind when we had the installation of Panchatantra in Sridhar Mayapur a couple years ago. So it was a big thing, you know, devotees advertising, you know, well, I've come to Mayapur and participate in a Maha Abhishek, Panchatattva, a big, big thing. Come and, you know, enjoy the festivities. So there's a big tent set up there outside Gada building to, you know, receive the devotees. And there's all tables set up, you know, for Russian, with Russian people, speakers there, and Hindi table, and you know, different languages. And it was all, you know, really good organization because expecting so many people. So there was one great soul, Janananda Das Brahmachari. So he was there. He wasn't even a you know, a host. He's not a resident. He's also a guest. So for the whole festival, all 3-4 days, or you know, the whole festival, even longer, he was there for the whole week, from you know, from morning time till late every night. He was just there. He greeted every devotee.
So exalted.
Greeted every devotee.
Jackson. Yeah.